Good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. Appreciate what we have heard already. I trust we can just continue with what we've been hearing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for the picture that we were given of your greatness. And the scene in heaven, your greatness, our smallness. So, Lord, as we look to you, pray that your will be done. Pray that you would bring those things to my mind that you would have me to share. Take those things away that should not be shared. Just pray that this message could be an encouragement to each one of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was considering what to share, I was thinking about where we are at. I think it was mentioned already, the song that we sang about the new year. This is the first Sunday of the new year. My thoughts went back to 20 years ago. How many people remember the year 2000? Put your hands up. Okay. And what was the issue at the year 2000? Y2K, year 2000. So there was a scare, right? There was a lot of fear. What's going to happen when the calendar comes to the end of 1999 and it clicks over to 2000? What if everything just goes blank? All the technology, computers, and all those things, they wouldn't be able to handle it. What would happen? I mean, this could be major chaos. I know we as a family were on a trip. We were in the South, South Carolina, my sister's house. And we decided, it would be wisdom to be home by the time the new year clicks. So that, we're traveling that far. We wouldn't be able to buy gas if the financial or, the cards, everything would crash. So we did. But anyhow, here we are 20 years later. That was not a problem. Thinking about growing up as a child, I looked forward to 2000 and saying, you know what? I don't think time is going to go much past 2000. I mean, you look at, we had 4,000 years to Christ, 2,000 years after Christ. We're looking, the sixth day, 6,000 years is past. And here we have, we're about the end of the 6,000 years since creation. Here we are, 2020. We're 20 years past that. Now, I'm not here trying to tell you when that time is going to be, when time will be no more, when Christ is coming back. But here we are at a new year. What are some things that people normally do? What thing do you think of when you think of New Year? What other word goes with New Year?
Resolutions.
Resolutions. Okay. Is that a good thing?
If it continues.
If it continues. All right. I saw a saying on a church. I think it was on a church bulletin somewhere. Maybe someone in the area saw it here too, but I get around. Daily devotion is better than a New Year's resolution. So the challenge of that sign was, it's a day-by-day walk with God that's going to count. Something we say, a resolution, I'm going to do thus and thus this coming year. How many of them get carried out? Probably the people that are doing that don't manage. Maybe they're doing it in their own strength. But anyhow. So, daily is better than I'm going to do different this year. Well, that's not a bad thing, but it's our daily devotion, our daily walk with God that's going to count. What does God say? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So that's daily. At the end of the day, you know, we begin the day with God, we end the day with God, and we walk through the day with God. So we need to stay up to date with God and others. The end of the year is also a time to reflect, look back. It's a time to take inventory. We do that. We do that in our businesses. And it's a good thing. What did we do last year that we don't want to repeat? What did we do this past year that was good, and we want to remember to do it again? We can do that as a business. We can do that as individuals. We can say, have we prospered? Have we progressed in our spiritual lives? What about as a family? Are we going forward? Are we learning? How are relationships? As a church? So, the question I would like to ask is my vision clear? Is my vision clear for 2020? So I see a few smiles. Is my vision 2020? So for a title, I had a couple different ones here, but is your vision clear for 2020? Is your vision clear for 2020? I wear glasses to correct my vision. And it's only a couple months since I got new glasses. I knew it was necessary, but I was not realizing how much different it would be after I got them. There's some little things that I was not able to see. I would ask someone else to read small numbers. And so it's good that our vision is clear. The other thing is glasses get dirty. They need to be cleaned. So let's remember to keep our vision. Like Leonard said, single eye, that is a good thing to think about in our vision. Another interesting thing that I came across is the month of January. I don't know if you saw the merchandiser. What did the merchandiser say about January? Did anybody read it? Okay. January. January is named after a Roman god. Janus. I'm not sure how they would say it. Janus. But it was a god of beginnings, transitions, gates, doorways, time, duality. I thought it was interesting, and I think we're going to use a few of these things here. He is pictured with two faces. Now, I was glad for the opening this morning. How many? They had many eyes, those creatures in heaven, right? Many eyes. Now, this being would have had a face pointing one direction, a face pointing the other direction. So it could look into the past and into the future at the same time. Well, God is seeing everywhere all the time. So, but anyhow, I thought it was interesting. Looking back and looking forward is something that we should do. And the other thing is, this God was protector of gates and doorways. You could picture the transition from the old year to the new year, passing through a gateway. Now, thinking about protector of gates and doorways, Proverbs 4:23, was that one of our memory verses when we were in Proverbs? Is that right? Who knows what it is? Maybe one of the children. Who knows what Proverbs 4:23 is? Keep what? Thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Protector of gates and doorways. Keep or guard our hearts with all diligence. Now, I did a little study on this. Diligence, we think of something that we're doing. This word diligence here is a noun, not a verb, not an action. Yes, it does mean that we're going to do something, but it gives a picture of a guard. We're going to keep our hearts with a guard. We're going to set a guard there. And we're going to do it on purpose. That word diligence has a root, which is a verb, to hedge about with thorns. That's one that we often hear about. Hedge about with thorns, to guard our hearts. But that is a verb, some action that we do. But thinking about that thing that we put in place to guard our hearts, that is important. Thinking about doorway, gateway, there's two aspects of a door, right? I'm going through the gate into the lawn. I'm going out through the gate. That's the opening. You went through the opening, right? Now, then when you're through there, you shut the gate. So you have the opening and the thing that closes the opening. Doorway. We're going through the door. You open the door, walk through, and then close the door. So our hearts have doors. We have doors. We have gates. What are we thinking about here? We open a door to let someone in. We close the door because what? It's cold out there. Let's close the door. Keeps that cold from entering. At night, what do? We might lock that door so that nobody can open it. Or whenever you might do that, if you do it. But a lock is to keep things out. There's some things that we want to keep out of our hearts. Why is it important? Because out of our hearts are the issues of life. Issue. Something, I was trying to picture something that issues forth, like a fountain or a spring. Have you ever seen a spring? Out of our heart is that issue. It's issuing out, and that is life. The fountain of life could be another way to say it. We are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. There are doorways into each part. I hadn't thought through it a lot, but we have eyes, ears, touch. Those are the physical. Our soul, our mind, our thoughts. We should have doorways. Some things want to come. Some things we open the door, some things we close the door. There's other things. We want to have that door locked. Spiritually, there's voices that might come our way that are not God's voice. And we want to close the door. With diligence, with a guard in place. So what is our vision for 2020? What was Jesus' passion? Can we sum it up with one phrase? Lo, I come to what? Do thy will. Think about Jesus. His passion was to do God's will. I delight to do it. That should be our passion as well for 2020. The psalmist, what was his passion? Psalm 27. One thing have I desired. What was it? Dwelling in the house of the Lord. One thing, dwelling in the house of the Lord. So, let's make that a little practical. What does that mean? How do we dwell in the house of the Lord? We are communing. We are in his presence. We are worshiping, like we heard this morning. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Our desire is to please God. Not myself, and not to please other people. Now, yes, we want, in our pleasing God, we blend with others. We have a vertical and a horizontal relationship. To love God, love our brothers also. So, in our desire to please God, what is God's response? We desire to please him. I guess I'm thinking of the blessing of the Lord coming back our way when we please him. Nehemiah 8:10, I'm just pulling a phrase out of it. It'd be interesting to go there, but think about the phrase, the joy of the Lord is my strength. As we are pleasing him, it brings him joy, right? Is that what it's saying? Joy of the Lord is my strength. I am wanting to please him, I'm worshiping him, and his response is joy. We can see and sense his smile of approval on us. Let's turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. There's a couple verses I'd like to pull out. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, the thing I just described, us pleasing him and him having joy, that joy on his face is a help to me. Here it says, for the help of his countenance. His countenance. We are in his presence. His countenance is shining on us. And it helps me. Right? Got the picture. Now, let's turn over to verse 11. Similar verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, the other verse said what? Praise him for the help of his countenance. His countenance shining on me helps my countenance to be healthy, come alive, smile, worship. Right? For if you yet praise him who has the health of my countenance. So that sounds like living in a reality of a walk with God. Another question to ask. Where do we want to end up? We're looking back and evaluating. We're looking forward. And the question is, where do we want to end up? That's going to make a difference which path we choose, right? What we open the door and close the door to. Matthew 25, if you want to turn to there, you may. It's a familiar passage. Several different parables. First one is the 10 virgins. Second one, the man traveling into far country gave some goods to his servants. And they took what was given to them. Two of them did, and the other one did not. Those that were faithful with what God gave them, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. And here's the phrase, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I see that smile of approval on our lives. Now, the next, if you want to call it a parable, I wasn't thinking about this. I guess, yeah, it would be a parable. He's talking about sheep and goats. But judgment, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he goes on and tells them what they did. But the picture of sheep and goats being separated, I think each one of us would say, I want to be with the sheep, right? I want to be with the sheep, not a goat. Right now is the time to consider, am I moving in that direction or am I moving away from it? Or haven't I even turned in that direction? Good time to consider. Where do we want to end up? We want God's smile on us. I think everybody would. Yes, yes, I want that. How do we get there? How do we get to that place? that we say yes. God's smile is on us. I did an interesting search on a phrase. God's smile, and I thought of the phrase, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. That means God is smiling. God is blessing. And I'd like to look at a number of these passages. Most of them come out of Psalms. So let's turn to Psalms 65 to start. It's up to you if you want to turn to all of these, but Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That sound like what we've been talking about? One thing have I desired, I want to dwell in his temple. The other thing I noticed here is, blessed is a man whom thou choosest. Have we heard God's call in our lives? Salvation. Did we listen when God called? Cause us to approach unto thee. And those, of course, that answer will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. There's one in Proverbs. The next one I'd like to look at is in Proverbs 8:34. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. So, God called, and we heard. We listened. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Waiting at my gates. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, 19 to 21. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. So, he called us, we call out to him, right? It's a two-way thing. Open to me the gates of righteousness. You've called me, and I want you to open those gates for me. That's entering in to his presence. And once again, we have praise right here. Chapter 32. Psalm 32. Blessed. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is he who comes into the presence of God and has his sins washed away. Transgression forgiven, sins are covered, and imputing not iniquity. Not imputed. He's not holding it against us anymore. Whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That's a blessing that he does that for us. Somebody, what are the first two verses of Psalm 1? We're having memory class. I'll read it. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man. We want God's blessing. We're going to watch what gates we walk through, what doorways we walk through. Who are we fellowshipping with? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We're not going to listen. We're not going to stand in the way of sinners. We're not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. But blessed is the man that has his delight in the law of the Lord. Delight. Delight. Just like we're sitting down to a tasty meal. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate. A little bit in the morning and maybe when he goes to bed. Day and night. All day. All night. In the night watches, right? Is that what the Bible says? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man. Psalm 34. Verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. That's something we have experienced. We're not going to experience it without engaging into a relationship with him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. We get a picture of who God is, and I was glad for that picture. I didn't do a very good job of creating a picture in our minds of God and how great he is. But the opening has given us that as a foundation. Taste and see. Can we taste? Can we see that the Lord is good? And then we realize who he is, how great he is. That causes us to trust in him. There's a number of other places where it talked about blessed is a man that trusteth in God. I did not go to all those places. We're not going to all those verses. So if you want an interesting Bible study, take that phrase and look it up. I think this one is also on trust. 84, verse 5. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Where is our strength? In ourselves or in him? Yes, we have a part to play, but it is when we say, I don't have it in myself, that he gives us what we need. In whose heart are the ways of them? Who passing through a valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Go through a difficult place. And in that difficult place, you find a well of water. Now, here's one that's a little different, Psalm 94. Maybe it fits with what we just mentioned there. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is a man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Blessed is the man that is God's child, for whom he loveth, he chasteneth. We don't like that, do we? But you know, it's for our good. I think it's probably doing a little bit of forming that concrete, smoothing, knocks off our rough edges. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. Okay. Now, let's turn to Psalm 112. This is the place where we're going to get quite a bit. Blessed is the man. Psalm 112. The first verse, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That's one that we didn't have yet. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord. Now, in this chapter, we're going to notice a number of things. I think you could say that he expands on what that fear of the Lord is. This is a reverential fear. We recognize who God is, his greatness, and instead of being a God with two sets of eyes, there's many eyes. I'm trying to think of a phrase. Yea, God seeth me. Wherever I am, wherever, whatever I'm doing, that is part of fearing the Lord, recognizing that he sees us. And the other part of it is the desire for us to please him. Not displease, but to please him. Those that delight greatly in his commandments, the next phrase says. Verse 5, there's the phrase, a good man. Good man sheweth favor. And this is what we want to be, right? We all want to be that, have that label of being a good man. A good man sheweth favor. What I'd like to do now is go through this psalm and look at the qualities now of that good man. Verse 1, let's pick out a couple. And I'd just like a little bit of input from you. What do you see in verse 1? What is a good man? We just mentioned what? The fear of the Lord, and what else? Delights in his commandments. This is a good man. When he gives us direction, when he gives a command, are we saying, Are we saying, oh, okay, yes, I will. Delighteth greatly. Now, 2 and 3 is the effect, but let's go to 4. Verse 4. Second half of the verse. A good man is what?
Gracious.
Gracious. Not a hardliner, but gracious. And full of compassion. Full of compassion. Good man. What's the next one?
Righteous.
He is righteous. He's a just person. Verse 5, a good man does what?
Shows favor.
And lendeth. He's not one that's stingy, one that keeps to himself. What's the end of the verse say? He will guide his affairs with discretion. Good man. Guide his affairs. Guide his family. Whatever he's doing, his business, with discretion, wisdom, discernment. Verse 7. Okay, what about verse 6? I see something in verse 6. He shall not be moved. Steadfast. What does it say? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast. Not be moved. By what? What else does it say in Ephesians? By every wind of doctrine? He's got some foundation. He's got some stability. He's got some guy wires to keep him upright. Shall not be moved. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Continuing with that thought, not being fear. Fear is not going to be a large part of his life. Why? His heart is fixed, stable, trusting in the Lord. We have a picture of who the Lord is. Somebody we can trust in. And verse 8, his heart is established, very much the same. He shall not be afraid. And it says, until he see his desire upon his enemies. There comes a point when God will vindicate his wrath upon the enemy. Verse 9, he has dispersed. He hath given to the poor. Is he a selfish person? Good man is not. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. It's something that's not going to be changing. It's going to be there. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Now, we can look at horns two different ways, I guess. But here I would say the horn would be a picture of authority. His horn. It's not going to be a horn that he's going to ram others with. But there's some solidness to his authority. He shall be exalted with honor. Now, this man living this way, there are some results. What are the results? Verses 2, 3, and beginning of verse 4. Back up to verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. He's going to be shaping his children, just like we heard in the children's class. And mighty. They will be mighty upon the earth. Generation of the upright shall be blessed. Children's children are the crown of old men. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now, We're not speaking necessarily in the natural. But maybe you can say wealth and riches would be in the spiritual, rather, in our soul. Wealth and riches in his health. And his righteousness endureth forever. Verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Think of the God's countenance. Again, be part of that light shining in our face. A man's wisdom causes his face to shine, is another verse in Proverbs. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And one of the other effects is, in verse 10, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. We might have some people that don't like us for walking the way we are. That's one of the possible effects, the wicked being angry. But you know, greater is he that is with us than he that is with them. Who has the victory? We will have the victory. The desire of the wicked shall perish. A good man. That's what this picture is of a good man in this chapter. I believe it's in Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps, maybe somebody wants to finish it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So, thinking about steps, we are walking. We went through a gate, and we're walking on a path. We want to get to the goal. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let's tune our ear to the Lord and listen for his direction. Another one here. I don't have a note besides Proverbs 12 and verse 2. Okay. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. God looks on a good man and he obtains favor. Does that mean we have a good life all the time? No, not necessarily. But we have God's favor on our lives. The man of wicked devices will he condemn. God's, at some point, maybe sometimes we look on the wicked and say, how can they keep on? Someday there will be judgment. The man of wicked devices will he condemn. God will bring judgment. Now let's turn over to Acts. I'd just like to look at one of those men that were called a good man. Acts 11. One of those that, yeah, I'm sure I read it before, but as I was preparing for this, I thought, this is a good picture, the picture of a good man. Verse 24 says, for he was a good man. Okay, let's find out who this good man was. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. I like that picture. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. What was the effect of this man? He was a good man, and much people were added to the Lord. That's the end of the verse. Back up to verse 23. He saw what God was doing in their midst. He was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So he was giving encouragement. Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. So what is our vision for 2020? We want to say, blessed is the man. We want to hear God's word saying, well done, good and faithful servant. We looked at Barnabas. There's also another, and that was Jesus. The people looked at Jesus and said, they recognized him and what he was doing and said he was a good man. I guess I'll just turn to that. John 7 and verse 12. The Pharisees were having a problem. Verse 10, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? They had some problem with Jesus. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Albeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So, being a good man, there's mixed responses. But we've looked at what a good man is and what the results are and what the blessing is. We want to be with the sheep, not the goats. So what do others say about us? That would be a good question to ask. The other thing that I'd like to challenge us with is let's look back, say, what have I done in the past that I should not be doing? And what is it that I should be doing that I'm not? So how is my vision? Is my vision clear for 2020? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at the end of this message. We all have that desire upon our hearts to have your blessing upon our lives, your smile of approval, that glow on your countenance, that word, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us to be in that place of fellowship with you. And when we stumble, get up and quickly restore that relationship. I just pray a blessing on each one. Help us to be encouraged and to press on, to open and close doors as necessary in our lives. Keep our hearts with all diligence. Keep that guard in place. Just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.